Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Steve. Hi, Steve.
I will start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
It is up to us, Father, it is my tyranny, Maria.
Of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, this morning we have members of the fellowship in who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Laura, do you want to share?
Yeah, hi Steve, thank you. My name's Laura and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Laura.
Very grateful to be able to share this morning my experience, strength and hope. The fact that I'm even here talking and able to do this is because I stopped drinking 13 and a half years ago nearly, and I don't need to worry about having a hangover. I can get up and come and do something like this. My drinking started when I was 17. I'm a reluctant alcoholic. My father's an alcoholic, and I swore I'd never drink. Had all these righteous ideas about how bad it was and things. And God grant me the humility of when I've picked up my first drink at 17, because I saw other people drinking safely. I couldn't put it down. It brought in all the things that just made me fit in. I found it hard to be around people socially. I was awkward and very shy. Felt I didn't fit in. So when I picked up the drink, it gave me a purpose to be with people. And it gave me the courage to interact. And it actually gave me the courage to be in relationships, to dance, to talk, to do all sorts of things. The problem is that after the third or fourth drink, I wouldn't want to stop, and then I would get loud and I would get obnoxious. I'd get self-righteous. All the pain that I felt inside would come out, and I would start hurting people, and then I would go into blackout. And I started blackout right from my first drinking. I'd wake up in the morning really, really hungover and not remember what I had done the night before after a certain point. That then led to having car accidents and finally trying to find my handbag. Was there any money left? Because it was a few years ago now when we got paid in cash. And checking the car for dents, checking the car was even outside was the first step, because I would never remember driving home. And that was the other thing. I would go out really only wanting to have one or two drinks. You know, it's the social thing after work. And I would be kicked out at the end of the night. And I would drive home. And I am so grateful I never killed anyone. I had a lot of accidents. And I did put one very dear friend in hospital for a short time. And just unbelievable that I just got away with that for so long. And I call myself a semi-functioning alcoholic. I would go to work, I paid my bills. I was super self-sufficient because I didn't want help from anybody. And then at the end of the day, I would reward myself with a drink. And I'd get up, I'd go to work smelling of alcohol, but I'd do my work. And I never got fired for drinking when I was younger, not when I got older. And because I'd go to the pub at lunchtime and not go back. So, but it also made me a very good worker, because I didn't want to, as I say, rely on anyone else. So I'd work my ass off all week and then drink all weekend. And then work my ass off a week and drink all weekend. That was my life. And then people say, oh, you want to go out? I say, is there alcohol? They go, yeah. I'd go, no, then I wouldn't go. I would go to the movies with a bottle of wine in my handbag. I would, you know, always make sure there was drinks somewhere. And if I ran out, I'd drive down the road and get more. When I was sort of in my mid-20s, I was drinking. You weren't able to buy alcohol on a Sunday in those days. And so my girlfriend and I would drive all the way up to the Paraguay Tavern, which was also a restaurant, because they would serve alcohol because there was food. And we would drive all the way there, get some chips and drink all day, and then drive home all the way back to Onehunga. And, you know, or I'd go into the dairies and I'd persuade the dairy owners to sell me bottles of wine on a Sunday. If they just put it in the brown bag, no one will know. And they'd give them the cash and off we go. You know, it was quite, yeah, that's what I did. Anything to get my drink, anything to get my fix. It's funny, I look back at photos of my drinking days and there's always alcohol in all the photos. And I'd be mowing the lawns and there'd be a beer on the table. I'd sort of do two laps and have a drink and do two laps, have another drink. It wasn't until I stopped drinking I realised how much I drank, because I still considered myself not that bad. Anyway, I'd been court ordered in my early 20s to something called the Bridge, which is run by the Salvation Army. And it's sort of the option between go to the Bridge and detox or go to jail. So, of course, I thought, yeah, I'll just go to the Bridge. That sounds much much more nice and a better option. So if I went in for 8 days, I convinced them that I was fine. I was a really good liar, very high functioning, very enthusiastic, helped in the kitchen, cleaned, did everything, was super nice to everyone. After 8 days, I said, you don't have a problem. I got out, went straight to the pub. So I managed to get away with it that time. I had a couple more DICs, and I've done probation. I've done PD, which is working out on a Saturday with everyone. That was very humbling. And I still didn't think that was a big deal. You know, everyone that I hung out with did it. I hung out with people who drank as much as me or more, and I actually looked like the best one of the group. So it was almost a rite of passage to get into trouble. And, you know, even at 30, waking up in a cell, not knowing why I'm there, and knocking on the cell door, you know, the holding cell, and asking the policeman if I'd been charged or not. If it was a no, they just let me out and off I wandered. If it was a yes, I got my bit of paper and did what I needed to do the next time. Then I managed for many years to decide I really didn't like doing this anymore, but I didn't want to stop drinking. And I did what they call controlled drinking. I changed what I drank. I changed who I drank with. I just, you know, did everything I could to control my alcohol because I didn't feel like I could live without it. But I didn't like how it was affecting me. Changed my friends, changed everything. And for 9 years, I managed by sheer willpower to do that. And then I had what I call a cluster bomb, because we're live on air. And I just woke up at the age of 39 again in the what I call come to. I wasn't asleep, I came to. I came out of blackout sitting in the breathalyzer room with two policemen again asking me lots and lots of questions, and I no idea how I got there, so refusing to answer. And, you know, and again I'd had a really, really violent night. Crashed cars, smashed furniture, people hurt, and I didn't know all that till I got home and everyone filled me in. So it's like suddenly this isn't cool, this is not good, you know. I walked back in through the house across broken glass where the back door had been smashed in and everything. And because of 15, 16 years earlier where I'd been shown about Alcoholics Anonymous at the bridge when I was there for the 8 days, something in my brain went, that's who I need to call. And that's what I did the following day after I'd managed to be able to get out of bed and move and eat and do the things I need to do. And I haven't stopped going. Alcoholics Anonymous is the answer to not drinking and to having a life that I can still function, I can still get up and face people, I can be social, I can have courage to get out and be a good person. And that is through these rooms. They're amazing. They're a gift. They're friends. Everyone's an alcoholic. And we all just want a better life for ourselves and our family. Because I don't want to die. I do want to live. And I don't want to live in insanity. I don't want to live in pain. And Alcoholics Anonymous gives me that freedom. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
You're on Community Radio, Planet FM on 104.6 with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. And this morning we have members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to continue on with the sharing, Ruben, would you like to share?
Yeah, sure. My name's Ruben and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ruben.
I'm so grateful to be here, to be sharing part of my journey of Alcoholics Anonymous. For me, I got introduced to alcohol when I had a very young age. How it was through at home, through my parents and uncles and aunties used to come around home with all their beers and whatnot and what have you. And then the parties would start going. I was pretty young at the time, about 13, 12, 13. So they would get all drunk and leave all their half glasses and that all under the table, and then when they're not looking, and then I'll start drinking them, and that's how much alcohol towards myself that, you know, just taking that first zip, it tasted pretty sour in the beginning, but after a while it felt pretty awesome. But as things progressed through the years, when I was about 16, I ended up in the Boston, and then I was revived through drinking as well. You know, I used to hook up with all my friends, and they were all young, and we used to go and rob, you know, get into places where there was heaps of alcohol. And you know, the more places we got into, there was more alcohol, so the more I drank, and then the worse it got. By that time, I had reached, when I came out from the Borstal home, and, you know, I still didn't listen. Still young and stupid and what have you. Hooked up with some of my friends again. At the time, I was 20. I was back in jail. This time, I was in a men's prison. And, man, there's not a place to be when you're that age. And that was all right through my drinking. I didn't listen. You know, we stole cars. I stole a car. I nearly killed us. I was lucky that my friend woke me up. I drifted off to sleep and the car was heading off the bank. So, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I'm so grateful to be here alive, talking and sharing my journey with you guys. But what had made me slow down was I, at the age of 23, I got involved with a woman and the partner, and we had our first child. And then I was over the moon, thinking, oh, yes, just, this will slow me right down. But it didn't. You know, I went and got more booze, and that was all that mattered to me at the time. My child came last, my family came last. The alcohol was first on the list, was number one priority. Then we had another two more children, and then things started to progress even worse. I had the police knocking on my door. I had holes in the wall. You know, I could have been a carpenter, a plasterer, with all the amount of holes in my home by trade. You know, it wasn't very nice at all what I had put my family through, most of all what I put my partner and that through. Not only in my immediate family, and also in my relations and cousins and that as well. You know, they've seen quite a bit, some of the stuff I didn't even see at all what I had done to them. They said, you know, all the harm and hurt I have caused throughout the years, I just didn't care. All I just worried about was my drinking and what have you. You know, I had my family try to help me, and I pushed them away. I didn't really want anybody's help. I said to them, leave me alone, I'm okay. I wasn't. How can I be okay whenever, this time around, I had ended back up in jail again. I came out this time around, my family had left me. So, you know, and then I thought, oh, now where am I going to go? Now what am I going to do? You know, broken hearted. We lost everything. Or I had lost everything. But, you know, that still didn't stop me from drinking. No matter what. I thought my family leaving, I would be able to stop and put it down. I couldn't. I didn't know how to. It's a fatal disease. And it's cunning, powerful, and baffling. You know, it really is for me, for this type of alcoholic. I just didn't know what to do. You know, I had thoughts of committing suicide, suicidal thoughts, because I had lost everything. And, you know, and I ended up on the streets, and then I ended up in some out-of-bit places that I really don't want to talk about, but, you know, in boarding houses and stuff like that. And, oh, man, it's pretty. You know, I thought I'd be okay, but I wasn't. And what happened for me is you get three chances, as they say. You play up, you get three warnings. They didn't even give me one. Oh, not even that day. I was told to leave. And then I said to them, why? It says, your behavior, your drinking just got out of control. Everybody is, you know, I've put everybody at at the verge of, I think they were wanting to put me in hospital. And I didn't see all that when I was there drinking. And so anyway, I moved around from one boarding house to another boarding house, and the same cycle day in and day out. What had happened to me was when I was walking the street one time, and my school friend from back in the day, he pulls over on this big truck, and he goes, oh, and I was quite happy to see him, you know, being a friend from school. And I said to him, oh, cool, we're going to go and get on the piss. You know, back in, you know, that's what we did. And then I said, oh, cool, where are we going? Which pub are we going to? And he said to me, oh, Ruben, I go, what? I don't drink. And I'm going, what? When? Since when? He says, bro, I don't drink anymore. I've been drinking for a few years. Would you like to come to a meeting? And I'm going, hey, what sort of meeting are you talking about? At that time, I didn't know what AA was all about. He said, oh, I go to AA. I said, well, I'll come and pick you up if you like. I says, oh, you know, what do they do? He says, oh, just come in and have a listen. Oh, I'm doing hard again. Oh, what's he on about? Where's he going to take me? Am I going to a church or something? Yeah, those are my exact, you know, I was drinking. So anyway, I agreed to go with my good friend to this meeting, and this was in Māngere and Blow Me Down. I walked in, and my first meeting, I sat down, and there's all these guys and girls and women in there, all facing one way, and my friend went right up the front, and I says, oh, let him go, I'm sitting by the door. So I sat by the door, and then, you know, then the first speaker, I've been... Yeah, serenity prayer, and then they had to introduce the first speaker, and then he got up and shared, and it went around the room, and I'm going, oh, shut, that sounds a bit like what I had been through. You know, that sounds like a bit like telling some of my story and stuff. Similarities were there, you know. And I'm going, oh, after the meeting, you know, these were mine, I went, and my friend took me home, and I said to him, oh, would you like to come to another meeting? And I said, oh, maybe sometime later on down the line. But that was just for me, you know. At that time, I wasn't pretty much ready for, that's what I thought. But 2 years later, I found myself in Alcoholics Anonymous saying, my name is Ruben, and I'm an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And this was 2005. Not to base on anything like that, but, you know, I haven't looked back since. I have a daughter now who's 12 years old and never seen me drink or drug. But who's to know? It's a cunning, powerful disease. I can go there and do that any time of the day. So I've got to be mindful and wary of what I do. And I owe this, my life, to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and also to the fellowship, to the members in the fellowship. So, yes, yeah, so thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Ruben.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and we have members of the fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And our last speaker this morning is Paddy. What do you want to share?
Kia ora, Steve, and kia ora, everyone. My name is Paddy, and I'm an alcoholic.
Kia ora, Paddy.
It's been lovely to be in this meeting this morning. Not only with Ruben and Laura, but with you listening on the air. First off, I just want to put a plug in here. We're part of the Mai Rōpū, which is Māori and Indigenous Outreach Program. And maybe we'll get to share a little bit about that later. But my number one thing is that I'm an alcoholic. I'm glad to... actually say that I'm an alcoholic, and that I'm a part of a wonderful group that helps me stay clean and sober. My sobriety date is the 22nd of January 2014, and my home group is Avondale Tuesday night, which I've been a part of since my last drunk. I've been around AA since 2008. The numbers don't match up, I wish I could have stayed sober since then. My journey isn't any different than anybody else. I loved alcohol, the effects of alcohol. I picked up my first drink when I was 8 years old. I come from a reasonably good family. My mum and dad were ministers of a church. And at a very young age, I'm number 10 of 12 children in our family. So I got to learn a little bit from my older siblings. They weren't part of the church, but they were part of our community that drink a lot, as our families do. And I love that, and I love to be with my older siblings because a lot of them drank, and I wanted to drink. I thought that's what every Māori does, is that we drink and we party and we get involved. I don't know if my mum and dad were alcoholics, but I know that when they were younger, they did drink a lot, and stories went around about my mum and dad. But I never saw them drink, and I think I'm grateful for that. And during my growing up years, there was stuff that I won't share on radio that happened, but that precipitated why I drank. I drank to put out all the thoughts in my head, all the pain, the trauma that happened to me. And later on, I drank just to try and be sociable with other people. A little later on in my life, when I had a family, I started going back to our family church, thinking that that's what I should have done. At the early, I prayed to God every day to help me with my drinking. I couldn't stop drinking. That was the problem. When I drank, I couldn't stop drinking. And the only times that I would drink, I wasn't a pub drinker. I'm a hideaway drunk. I would hide all my alcohol away, not only from my family, but from my friends. I didn't want anybody to know that I was drinking, and I didn't, though I wanted help from my drinking, I just could not stop drinking. It wasn't until landed myself in prison, where I came in contact with AA. That's another story. But how I got to know, I hadn't heard about AA. I didn't know there was a program. I didn't know what it was all about. That I found myself in a meeting of AA, and it was at that meeting I heard from the old timers that came in to share their experience, strength and hope, some of my story and some of the things that had happened to me, was that had happened to them, and I could relate to that. And I'm grateful for that. Coming out, I now have a home group, I have a sponsor, and a partner who is supportive of my journey in AA as well. And I'm a grateful member of Alcoholic, and we would like to be able to help other people. If you think you have an issue with alcohol, you might not be an alcoholic. You might want to find out. And I found out that I'm alcoholic. I am so grateful, and thank you for listening.
Kia ora. Thanks, Billy.
This brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've identified with our speakers this morning and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. Or you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under the meetings list, we'll give you a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.